Star jump sequence terminates, Captain.
Get the gravitational dampers online and open the blast shield.
Aye, sir.
Bring us in closer.
Aye, aye, sir. Moving us in on sublight drive.
Extreme magnification.
Aye, sir.
The center of the galaxy. And there's our black hole.
The experience of a lifetime, Captain.
Let me put this on audio. You should be able to hear the magnetic resonance.
This is it, ladies and gentlemen. The edge of time and space, where the impossible can happen. Welcome to the event horizon.
Good morning, or afternoon, or evening, whatever is relevant for the part of the world you are in. Indeed, welcome to the Event Horizon, where the impossible happens. Join us each week at this time as we delve into the worlds of science fiction, fantasy, and science fact in all their forms. I am your host, Gene Turnbow.
And I am your other host, Susan Fox.
And with us is the guy behind Clever Recluse Games, Paul W. Ehrlich. And he's here to talk to us about a new 5e campaign, a 5th edition campaign, A Shadowed House. And I love the cover of this. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
I just realized that the lightning looks like demon wings. The lightning behind the house looks like demon wings. I just picked up on that.
Nothing in this house is as it seems.
It's actually a piece of stock art, and there's some amazing stock art if you're interested in creating a 5e adventure on DriveThruRPG, and they've been wonderful folks.
Yeah, that's wow. So, it looks like you wrote the story first and then converted it to 5e rules.
That's correct. Actually, we are working on our own RPG, I Am Minotaur. And it started out when I was very young. I started the original when I was like 19. And it's gone through many permutations. But one of the latest permutations was me trying it as in I Am Minotaur, and it didn't quite fit. So I decided to take it and put it into 5e.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we decided to do was we actually have a print copy, and we have a PDF, and it's been fairly popular so far.
It's extremely well made. It looks extremely well crafted. I mean, when you have a campaign like this, when you publish, it's not just about the craftsmanship making the product good. The craftsmanship is the product, and the quality of the work that you've done on this just speaks for itself. This is really, really detailed and really thought out.
Even the parts of the book we can see or that the players could see are spooky and weird, and we'll drag them into the scenario right away.
I appreciate that. I really do. Thank you. I really want to stand by what we do as a company. And it's me and some artists and some playtesters. And I did put a lot of passion into making it. Thank you.
So
anyway, what are we allowed to say? I want to gibber about this, but I can't because I don't want to give away any spoilers.
Well,
it's all spoilers.
We can say that the adventure has a number of different locations, and each one has a carefully thought out place in the storyline.
Yes, I mean I was an English major in college. And was actually out in Los Angeles for a while. I'm in Texas now, and tried my hand at being a screenwriter, and I didn't have the creative control, and there was a lot that I couldn't grasp about that particular position. And so I decided to go into games, and I think that A Shadowed House reflects that. And you are a part of a narrative. if you enter the Shadowed House. It's not just you go into a dungeon and, you know, you kill a bunch of monsters and you...
Yeah, it's not treasure. It's not a murder hobo, you know, murder hobos in a box.
We see it, we kill it, what do we get?
Exactly. And I have gotten feedback that some people are actually disappointed about that. Because they are expecting kind of this murder hobo scenario.
Well, I think this is a spanking for people like that.
Yep. We've had some play tests where it was a spanking for people like that.
I completely believe that. I mean, Susan commented while she was doing the pre-show prep as she was reading through it. Oh my gosh, this is deep and dark and it's for level one characters, and boy, don't expect to be able to keep them.
It's like, don't get attached.
Don't get attached.
Disclaimer, we've only had one TPK in playtesting.
Is that all? Wow, I'm surprised. You've got some pretty talented players then, because, wow. The dice loved
it. I think they're wise to my tricks. I think that's all that's
going on. Yeah, for those not in the know, TPK means total party kill. Oh, that's awesome. Just the texture of this, the verbal texture of this, of the writing is just top notch.
So what's inspired all this deep darkness? What input into your brain?
Well, I do like to explore I guess what you would call them deep themes with my games. I think of Shadowed House, and I kind of hate to give any sort of interpretation of it, but I can't help myself in this instance. But I think A Shadowed House kind of deals with patriarchy, mm-hmm. at least somewhat. And I think horror in general kind of touches on tribalism and patriarchy. I Am Minotaur, which is our next game, kind of deals with masculinity and how masculinity can be effective, but it can also be toxic. And how you have to balance between those two elements. I was 19 when I originally wrote it. I've just been adding on to it for years.
Yeah, I'm...
He's thumbing through it.
I'm thumbing through it and just...
And it's slowly turning white.
Yeah. Well, no, it's just so good. Ooh. I mean, it's the descriptions.
Yeah, except now that we've read the manual, the GM manual, we can't play the game now because we know too much.
Oh, we could still play the game.
We know too much. Dun dun dun.
insert shot of surprised groundhog here. Actually, I think it's a marmot. In the meme animation. Marmot?
Yeah.
You have recipes for marmot?
I have recipes for marmot, yeah.
I don't want to know. So how long have you been playing Dungeons & Dragons? Where did you...
We're not supposed to say those words.
Oh, no. Okay, let me try that again. How long have you been playing 5th edition? And when did that begin to inform your story skills?
Well, I actually started with first edition.
Woohoo!
With the original hardback books and even the red box set.
Red box. Beige box all the way, baby.
I started with red box when I was probably about 11 or 12 years old.
Cool.
And now I've been playing RPGs. I kind of got away from 5e and Wizards of the Coast for a while and was playing a little bit of Call of Cthulhu.
Mm-hmm. I can see that.
Yeah. And I think that Shadowed House is influenced by Call of Cthulhu. And I wanted to kind of see what would happen if you took some of those elements and kind of put them into 5e. And... what else have I been playing? I play Vampyre quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. I've played Vampyre.
Yeah, and that's an excellent system.
Call of Cthulhu is very, very popular in Japan. I think it's more popular than 5e is.
It's probably more popular than actually reading Lovecraft, but yeah.
Yeah, very likely.
I I started reading Lovecraft when I was like 17.
Prime time for it.
Yeah, that's when I read it.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think I still have my paperbacks.
Yeah, you know, that's about the age when you start getting curious about what's all this stuff about H.P. Lovecraft.
Yeah, yeah.
And does he love Kraft?
And apparently he does.
quite a bit.
He wouldn't write so much about it. Yeah, so it sounds like it's always been sort of a companion for you in the back of your mind as you developed into a writer.
Definitely. It was funny because for so many years, writing for games was kind of considered almost an alien concept for me. Because if you wanted to make a living at writing creatively, you had to write for either TV or you had to write for movies. And I wanted to make a living writing creatively. So I wanted to write for TV or movies. And after a while, you just... Again, that's a certain mentality. And I just didn't have it.
It's a lot more politics than writing, almost.
Boy, and you have to let go of the idea of creative control because... Almost no writers have creative control unless they're, you know, best-selling authors or something.
Yeah.
Murder your darlings, my writing teacher said, and he was right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And even when you're your own editor, it's painful, but, you know, you got to do it every so often, just kind of chop things out.
Yeah.
Well, who knows? This could cycle around to a what streaming movie?
Yeah, you could definitely take this campaign and turn it into a motion picture. I mean, it's.
Well, he said he'd written a story first, so that could happen.
Maybe it's not something I've considered, but I could see it. You know, I think it would be a very interesting movie.
Well, the descriptions and the scenery and your the interactions of your. Thematic characters, the characters that about whom this campaign is, are extremely strong. It's extremely well thought out, and there's certainly would support being converted into a variety of other media.
Yeah, it's a family saga of a deeply dysfunctional group of people,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm,
everybody loves a good family feud, even when they're all dead.
Yeah.
Especially when they're all dead.
There's a lot of necromancy and other stuff going on in here.
Not much romance, mostly necks.
Yeah, mostly necks.
Mostly necks being broken or something.
And then there's this bear.
Shush about the bear.
Yeah, it's the problem is that the work is as a story is short, and so it's extremely difficult to speak of it without giving away vital parts.
Yeah, vital parts. There's a lot of vital parts all over the floor.
it's true. It is a fairly short adventure. It's meant as a one or a two shot. You know, mm-hmm. either one or two sessions. It's difficult. When it's run, it's usually very intense.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a difficult emotion to keep going over multiple sessions. People tend to get burned out.
Yeah, that you burn out fast, which is why, you know, you have mood arcs in a longer piece. This is more like a short story.
This is a crash of thunder.
Yeah.
Yeah,
thunder exactly. Roaring, like... the lightning crashed, a tree fell down, a frog got smashed, the end. Sorry. So this is obviously not your first time through making a campaign. For writing
well,
a campaign.
This is our first product.
It's the first one they've published.
It's the first one you've
published. It's the first one that's been published. Right. It is the first one that's been published, and it is the one that has traveled with me the longest, so to speak. Mm-hmm. It's the one that I would always bring out to play test a system. And so, again, it's gone through many iterations, but this is our first product, and of course, you know, we have another product coming out, I Am Minotaur, which is, again, a completely separate game from 5e, and it's based on percentile dice.
Mm.
class-based. Mm-hmm. Everybody's a Minotaur.
Mm-hmm. That's not what I expected. I'm thinking, you know, setting up Theseus in the labyrinth, you know?
It's actually from the Minotaur's perspective, the Minotaur's point of view. And
That's interesting. That's a hook.
And there's a dying Minotaur Empire, and you are kind of jockeying for position with the humans and the elves without trying to kind of go into open warfare with them. There has been a catastrophic war that has just occurred, and the humans and the elves were your allies, so you don't, and you as a Minotaur are in kind of a weakened position. The war kind of weakened you. Mm-hmm. So you can't alienate the humans and the elves, but on the other hand, you have competing interests.
Oh, tricky. That sounds tricky. And when is that one coming out? You're still playtesting, I assume.
We're doing our first public playtest next week on the 27th.
Okay, where will this be taking place?
This will be taking place. It's in San Antonio. We're based out of Texas, and it's taking place at Dragon's Lair Alamo Ranch, which is a really cool game store.
Oh, cool. That sounds like a good one.
And we're not above boosting your favorite game store.
We love our local game stores.
So that's going to be what time again?
7:30 p.m.
Great. Mm-hmm. Okay. Fantastic.
Now I want, you know, everyone should wear their Minotaur horns, which you should be able to get in San Antonio.
It's so much fun. And what's fun is playtesting. You'd be amazed at when people are allowed to take on the Minotaur persona, just how big they can get.
Cowboys.
Brings out beast in them.
And voice and stance and everything else. You know, body language, it's a trip.
It's fun to cut loose and roar, especially when you have a good reason.
Yeah.
Without being angry about it, you know. It's just...
saw me my first D&D game back, you know. We were out at Geeky Tees at that mm-hmm. big party of parties, and I'm dressed as a dwarf with beard and roaring and swearing in dwarvish. Yeah, it was awesome. So getting
interject. I love Geeky Tees. I was out in LA for years, and Geeky Tees was one of my favorite stores.
Yeah, they're moving into a bigger environment. I think that's three times the space
and in a better location.
Good for them.
I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, that sounds like a blast.
But yeah, having all your Texas Minotaurs going hook 'em horns.
Well, one of the reasons I did go with Minotaurs is I moved to Texas.
Cowboys.
That's fun.
Okay.
So there is not. I'm kind of surprised at how many people are writing games and campaigns and just doing this on their own and forming their own companies to do it. And so you're in good company. Do you feel the pressure of the competition, or is it more a camaraderie with your fellow creators?
That's an excellent question. With certain folks, I will say it's much more of a camaraderie.
Mm-hmm.
There are always going to be people who make everything into a competition, and that's in any field.
That's true.
I feel like it's better to receive people as friends than as rivals. When I have a choice, I would much prefer to have friends than rivals. And I hope my demeanor is, you know, kind of conveys that, and I think it does.
Yeah, hopefully. I think so too. I mean, my approach to things is, you and I are in the same business. What can we learn from each other? Mm-hmm. You know, let's help each other rise.
Yeah, that prevails in the science fiction fantasy field more than others.
Oh yeah,
I will definitely say that. Because mm-hmm. there's no artificial constraints. There's no overwhelming studio system saying we will only buy X number of products. You can make your own product. When you're self-publishing, sky's the limit.
Yeah.
That's the great thing about it. You know, you have your own, you want to get greenlit and nobody will greenlight you, form your own company, darn it, and greenlight your own stuff.
Paint it all green.
Exactly. You know, and I don't know. My stuff is fairly offbeat, and I'm not sure if an established company, I haven't tried to pitch an established company, but I don't know if an established company would bite on something like a Shadowed House or I Am Minotaur. They're kind of unique in a way. They're not, I don't know if they would have the huge push that these companies are looking for.
Is it too unusual? But the people who discover it are going to love it. They're going to freaking love it. It'll be just their kind of quirk.
I hope so.
Yeah, this is solid stuff. Have you been... you said you were playing since you were 11. Was there a time when you just sort of gaffiated from it, sort of...
Got away from it all.
Yeah. I'd say, honestly, in my 30s, I kind of got out for probably a decade or so. It was funny, you know, the predecessor of I Am Minotaur kept pulling me back in. It was just... I had done this game, and I started it when I was like 17, mm-hmm. and I just couldn't let it go. You know, it just, I put a lot of time and effort into it. And what was interesting was my father, bless his heart, he found the books, and I thought I'd thrown them away. And he says, "No," he says, "these books are still here." And I'm like, you know, so he sent them to me. I started working on it again. So I put it aside for probably about a decade and played a lot of RPGs on the computer. But tabletop RPGs just have their own unique flair that you just can't get on.
Yeah. Well, the players bring so much to the experience. It's about half the game, and it's about half what the players do with it.
One of the notes in Shadowed House makes you make the players draw their own map, which seems a bit old-fashioned, but with paper and pencil, you know, I'd have made them carve their own quills. Okay, bring some parchment and ink.
I think there's something to be said for that, and it's fun just to have it happen at the table and with a bunch of new players who are used to, you know, 5e and all the new stuff, and just to look at the expressions on their faces. It's worth it for the DM.
All right, well, I'm looking forward to that.
And the campaign also includes full color maps, you know, of every floor in the house, and that's a visual treat. You don't always get that.
You kind of do these days. Well, maybe not all in color, but the maps are in the books now.
They are. I mean, we kind of... They obviously are a bit more work and a little bit more of an expense for us. But one note I got continually from the DM who was playtesting this, because it was that they needed full color maps just because of the way the house was laid out and how important it was to know where all the players are at all times. If they were trying to use Mind's Eye, it got messy pretty quickly.
Okay.
Oh, that's interesting. So that it isn't just a decoration. It actually calls back to game mechanics.
Yeah, honestly, it was the number one note I got from the DM after the first playtest is, look, this adventure needs full color maps, or at least it needs maps, not necessarily full color, with furniture, because there's so much that can happen inside a room, and the DM was feeling lost, and players were wandering around.
Having the players know where everything is optional, but the DM must know.
Yes.
At all times.
That was what we found, was the DM was having a very difficult time, especially if the party splits. Then it was very, very difficult for them.
I noticed in the manual for this that there is a mention on how to deal with splitting the party under certain circumstances. And you actually have specific notes for this, which I appreciated that level of detail in the writing for it.
Thank you, and it was definitely necessary. And again, that was a playtest that said specifically when it happened during a playtest, things went off the rails. So just like, okay, we got to put that in. Make sure that's in there. We playtested about, I don't know. From the start, obviously, when I was like 17, But even just in this particular iteration, we're probably 9 or 10 times easy.
Yeah, this is... I'm just voluminous. it's beautifully rendered as well. It's
all parchment colored, uh-huh. and you know the parts that the DM reads are in italics, so you can easily find it and read it.
Thank you. Yeah,
You should make some pre-recorded, at least you know, like the intro or something. You know.
That would be kind of cool, actually. That would be. We kind of talked about that a little bit. We'll see if the players are interested. It's something we could probably provide.
Yeah, little added value. Anyway,
the production value is just spot on. It's A Shadowed House, written by Paul W. Ehrlich. It's a 5th edition adventure. First level characters recommended, and
don't get attached to them.
Yeah, well, and the reason for that, as you mentioned in the manuscript for this, is that if you can play it with higher level characters, but it kind of takes the fun out of it.
It becomes difficult with high level characters because in 5e, high level characters can do so much, and. Yeah. This adventure relies on you being scared a little bit, worried for your character's safety. And if your character can, do almost anything, which a lot of high level 5e characters kind of feels like they can, it really mitigates what this adventure is trying to do.
I don't know. I kind of like the idea of some of these high and mighty paladins picking up their skirts and running away in terror.
Run away! Paul Ehrlich of Clever Recluse Games, thank you for joining us on this episode of The Event Horizon.
Thank you for having me.
Oh.
I really appreciate it.
You have been listening to episode 270 of Sci-Fi.Radio's production of The Event Horizon for March 23rd, 2024. Our guest this evening has been Paul Ehrlich of Clever Recluse Games. We have been talking about their first release, A Shadowed House, now available on DriveThruRPG. The show will air again tomorrow on March 24th, 2024 at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern, and again on the following Thursday and Saturday mornings at 4 a.m. Pacific, 7 a.m. Eastern. After all the airtimes have passed, you will find this episode and others on iTunes, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, and on our own website at sci-fi.radio. If you enjoyed the programming you have just heard, please consider visiting patreon.com/sci-fi-radio and become a patron of the station. We are listener-supported sci-fi and fantasy fandom radio, and your contributions go to paying our DJs, our production team, the writers for our Geek News website, our business operation fees, our music licensing, and they help us procure and maintain the equipment and other resources we need to stay on the air. We have been broadcasting continuously since 2009, and we are thankful for the support of listeners just like you. That URL is, again, patreon.com/sci-fi-radio. This program is copyright 2024 by Krypton Media Group. The Event Horizon on sci-fi.radio. It's sci-fi for your Wi-Fi.